today on Real Radio.
Don't hope for salvation. Don't you dare follow that satanic lie that propagates much of what is known as religion. Well, you can't know if you're going to go to heaven or not until you die. It's too late. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know now that you possess eternal life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, and he later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to seek peace and to pursue it, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. In part one, we saw how simply glancing through Scripture really is not enough. Christ followers need to move past the things that make us uncomfortable, and we got to dig deeper. Many will come to us with their version of who Jesus Christ is. Now, this is why the passion of the gospel must be proven and studied in our own hearts before we can shed His great light on others. We live in a dark and deceiving world, we really do. But Jesus, He is the light of the world, and He is the one true Messiah. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Bible is a series of teachings that can be both challenging and thought-provoking. But we are reminded that Jesus will take us through this world, and He has secured our salvation by nailing it to the cross. And now in his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 3, so you can turn there in your Bibles. And we're in verses 18 to 22. And I made mention to you last week that we were not going to run through these verses like a lot of pastors or ministries are prone to do, and I'm not faulting them. I get it. I would rather run through these verses as well, and today's going to be a good example. You'll see why they don't want to hang out much in this portion of Scripture. I got to tell you, as we read, we come to some very challenging verses today, and I'm going to need you to be very awake. I'm going to need you to be taking notes and paying close attention and also, be ready to go study on your own these portions of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we ask God that you would help us now. And Lord, I just pray. I've had this in my heart all week. And Lord, if it's from you, then develop it. And if it's not from you, evaporate it. But Father, may we be together this morning. And Lord, as a family, as Bible students, around a table, may there be such a sweet connection today, because this is tough stuff, and we want to be wise, and we want to be biblical. We want to know what the Bible says on every page, in every chapter of every verse. So, Lord, we just ask now for your illumination. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You can be seated, and I'm going to do this really quick. My wife is such a great, listen, if you know my wife, she doesn't, there's no sugarcoating with my wife. She tells it straight up. She'll say, you know what, you maybe next week you should work on your sermon a little bit better, or this or that. No, she rarely says that. If she doesn't like it, she doesn't say anything. If she likes it, she says, that was good. Okay? And she often says, don't recap so much. You recap too much. So listen, I'm going to recap very little right now. If you were not here last week, you need to know this, because it perfectly, of course, segues right into what we're looking at. We're looking at a portion of Scripture that we've entitled, See What Jesus Christ Did. To look at, to watch, to see what Jesus Christ did. Look what Jesus did. And that's what Peter's thrust is. And he began a section last week in chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, that will end in verse 22. But it's deep and it's challenging and it is unique. Peter has insights to what, listen, to what is common 2,000 years ago to his readers. Church, listen, he tells them about things that they knew about, that in a day that you and I are not so familiar with. But we first of all saw in verse 18 last time, an argument or submittal number one is to see what Jesus did is this, is that he did an amazing thing. And the Bible tells us in verse 18 that in all that he's done for us, we saw three key things, and it is this, that he took your sentence and mine upon himself. Verse 18 talks about the fact that Jesus Christ suffered for us, that he went to the cross for us. The Bible says that Jesus died in our place for our sins. So verse 18 started by announcing to us that he took upon himself our sentence because you and I are sinners. Number two, we saw in the middle part of verse 18 that he brings you and I into the presence of God himself, that Jesus Christ not only pays for the ticket of our salvation, but he ushers us into the presence of God. And then thirdly, last time we saw that Jesus Christ lives for our redemption. It's up to Jesus to not only purchase salvation for you and I and all those who trust Christ, but to be with us all the way through in this life. But thank God, it is Jesus Christ who will see to it that our redemption is complete. You can say amen to that. Your entrance into heaven is based upon the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. And so a few things regarding this. Jot it down, please. These are verses you did not have last week. Regarding our sentencing, listen to what the Bible says. Colossians 2:14 says, Jesus Christ, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that is all your sin and mine, Jesus dealt with. It says, which were contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way. How did he do that? By nailing it to his cross. Your shame, your guilt, your sin and mine, Jesus took to the cross. Regarding our standing before God, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7, verse 24, starting there, that he, Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. So Jesus is your priest, not any priest on this earth. Verse 25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah, right? Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, for us. Isn't that an amazing statement? Radical. And then thirdly, regarding our security, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. That is, pour all of your efforts into your Christianity. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance, listen, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Tremendous statements. And then one more, if you don't know this, if you're wondering, well, how does that all come about? Pastor, how do I have this sentence of mine removed? How do I have a right standing with God? How can I have security that when I die, I'll inherit eternity and I'll stand in good favor before the Lord in his kingdom? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, but what does it say? That is the scripture. What does the Bible say? For it is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, listen, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes. That means it's real, friends. You're just not pretending church or pretending Christianity. It is a true doctrine of your heart that you believe that God raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, that is the Bible, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. This is the power of the gospel. Amen. By the way, there's enough truth right there in the Bible I just gave you a moment ago. We could end the service right now and go home. So I'm serious. I could have a short day here at work and end it right now based upon those verses. Can you say that those verses are in fact the reality of your Christian walk? That you understand that your salvation has been purchased by Christ, that you stand before God based upon his merits, not your own, and that you believe in your heart based upon what the Bible says, that God has in fact raised Christ from the dead, and you can state that by confession to others, and salvation is something that you possess. Listen, friends, don't hope for salvation. Don't you dare follow that satanic lie that propagates much of what is known as religion. Well, you can't know if you're going to go to heaven or not until you die. It's too late. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know now that you possess eternal life. These are awesome truths of the Bible. And God would have you to know these things. And so today we look at the second installment, verses 19 to 20, and that is, as we say, regarding the question or the statement, see what Jesus Christ did. Today, we're looking at the fact that he's confirmed the scriptures to us. He has confirmed them. Jesus Christ confirms the scriptures to us. And we see this in verses 19 and verse 20, opening up by this, by condemning an unbelieving age. Will you write that down? This is what we're going to be learning. According to the Bible, look what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ condemned an unbelieving age, an unbelieving generation. We'll look at this in detail now. Look at verse 19. By whom also he, this is Christ, went and preached to the spirits in prison. Verse 20 says, who formerly were disobedient. You need to circle that. This is one of those statements that most Bible teachers will just keep reading and go over. Everybody look. It's very strange. It's very bizarre. So hang on to your seats. The Bible says that Jesus Christ went. Question. Don't answer it. Don't shout it out. Just write it down in your notes. Where did he go? If Jesus went, where did he go? What did he do? The Bible says he preached. Circle the word preached in your Bible. It's not your normal word for preaching, by the way. Bible students, mark it. It's the word to make a legal or an official announcement. You know a heralder? You know the old days of early America England, you'd have a heralder? The heralder was, that's how you posted things in those days. That's how you tweeted. The tweeter. The tweeter would go to the city center and he would unfurl the scroll and he would say, hear ye, and blah, blah, blah. He would make his post. That was the ancient tweet of the day. And the community knew what was going on and they spread it. That's the word. Whatever is going on here, and we're going to approach this like we don't know, Jesus went somewhere. We're reading in the context that he has suffered, that he died for our sins. Peter tells us, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus went, good Bible students would say, where'd he go? And he announced, that is, he unfurled the document and he made a proclamation. He's not preaching. Please listen. There are certain so-called Christian groups that will say that when Jesus died on the cross, during the time of after his death, but before his resurrection, that when he went and preached to the spirits that were in the underworld, that he gave the lost, those that were condemned, those that were in hell, he gave them a second chance to accept the gospel, and thereby he rescued them out of hell. This is taught among many Christians. The only problem is it's not found in the Bible and it's false doctrine. By the way, if you've ever heard of something called purgatory, this is one of the arguments that they use to back up the unscriptural, unbiblical doctrine taught as purgatory. Purgatory, by the way, is a Babylonian religion. It's bound up in Zoroastrianism and Babylonianism. It's ancient. It's about 5,000 years old. Has nothing to do with the Bible. Just want you to know that. And it also says in verse 20 that they were spirits. You ought to circle that. This is interesting. Spirits, what does this mean? Well, we're going to know. But whatever these spirits are, and whoever Jesus went and announced to, and to whatever location he went, where was it? Look at the next two words. In where? Prison. Strange, right? They were bound. They were captive. Whoever they are under arrest. They're in a place they can't get out of. Are you starting to get interested in this? Is this like, what? Oh, just wait. And the Bible's very clear. Verse 20 opens up by saying, oh, by the way, these people, whoever they were, these spirits were very, very disobedient. It is true, Bible student, that after the death of Jesus Christ, we do know from the Bible that when Jesus died on the cross, remember that when Jesus died on the cross, what died? Did his spirit die? Did his soul die? Nope. His body died. His body, his physical body died. We know this from the Bible, that as Jesus' body lay in the tomb there in Jerusalem, that he was in spirit very much alive. We know from portions of scripture that we'll study today some of the things that transpired. Bible students, I need you to write this down carefully. The Bible identifies various locations in the spirit world as a realm that we clumsily say is hell. We use the blanket statement, hell. But when you study the Bible carefully, the word for hell in English is brought up in various Greek or Hebrew names and descriptions. For example, I'll just give you a few. Do you guys care about this? I hope you do. Have you ever heard of the bottomless pit? Yes, that is a different word than what we have regarding what we're studying today. The Bible talks about a place that is known or referred to as the bottomless pit. Yikes. I don't know about you, but it's the implication is that you're always falling. Some people love that. I don't think people will love it there in hell. It's like, I like bungee jumping. So what? It has, you will have no bungee in hell to jump with. It's not good. Have you ever heard of the lake of fire? The Bible says that's a place where the ungodly will go. Those who have rejected Christ, and it's a place that is the sensation of burning, forever burning. And the reason why it's called the lake of fire is that there's an implication where you're constantly treading water, as it were, staying alive always, but just barely staying alive with a sensation of burning. There is the Gehenna in the Bible. Gehenna, Tartarus, the Abuso, various descriptions in the Bible. By the way, listen, if you're getting freaked out right now, just know this. The Bible says that God has announced that he never created hell for human beings. Amen. And you say, I thought I was going to go there. Well, you might be going there, but let me finish. It says he made it for the devil and the fallen angels, that he never intended humans to go to hell. But for stubborn reasons, humans demand that they wind up going there. By the constant rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God says, here, take the lifeline, take the rope, take it. No, I'm good. I'm good. And you go right over the cliff into this bottomless pit. You don't want to do that. So the Bible is talking about this reality. You see, you have a pastor. We're talking about the disobedient, right? Disobedient? Yes, we're talking about the disobedient. And as we come to this, I'm going to really need you to take notes and write these references down. So again, prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that Jesus went to a place that we would more accurately call Sheol or Hades. Okay, now hang on. According to the Bible, Hades is a place that is currently occupied, and I should have drawn a picture to put on the screens, but I need all of you to watch. Imagine this stage, this platform right now, is called Hades. And write down the center. I mean, I don't mean to freak you out, but let's just use you guys out here. This is better, you guys. You see this aisle right here? This aisle divides both sides of the sanctuary. On this side is Hades, and it would be the living dead They're dead physically, but they're living in a spirit realm known as the underworld or under the earth. Have you ever read in the Bible where the gospel is preached or this whatever, or the angel, and that his name is glorified of those of earth and under the earth? And this is the reference, the underworld. And on this side, nothing personal, but you all died without Jesus. You died in the days of the Old Testament, according to where we're at right now. You did not believe in the promises of God. You rejected God's message that the Messiah would come someday in the future, and you're there. Now, as of right now, today, 21st century, now, if somebody dies right now without Christ, where do they go? Right with all the rest of you. This location, Hades. It's not hell like you're thinking. It's Hades. It's not a happy place. It's not good, but it's not the end for you. It's not the end for you. Over here, now watch me. On this side are those who died. This is the underworld. They died, but these who died on this side, they're people like Noah, Isaiah, Micah, Adam and Eve. The believers, they died. Watch, they died believing that God would send the promised Messiah that is recorded in Genesis chapter 3, that God would save the world, and they trusted looking ahead. By the way, Christian, stop, pause now, press pause. All of us who are believers, how are you, yes, you're saved by the cross, but how are you saved today? You're looking back at what God did. Are you with me? You look back at what God did. You trust God and you look back. Now, I got to tell you, it's much easier, in my opinion, to believe now and look back than it was for Abraham to live then and to believe and look forward. They didn't have a Bible. You say, yeah, but God appeared to them. That's a good point. That's pretty awesome. So listen, we've got in our story, we've got the condemned over here, and we've got the righteous because they've looked forward to God's provision over here. Everybody's in Hades. But right down the middle, the Bible says that there is a rift. There's a grand division. By the way, the Bible says each side can physically see the other, yet these are in comfort and in joy and in paradise. By the way, this is called Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Hey, do you remember when the Bible says in the Old Testament that when Daniel died, for example, that he would be gathered to his fathers? Do you remember when it says Joseph would die and he would be gathered to his fathers? This is that description. The Old Testament saint would die. Their body would be put in an ossuary, sarcophagus ossuary. But their spirit instantly was in what is called Hades or paradise.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, when we consider what Jesus did for us, it's nothing short of choosing between life and death. Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, these are times when we feel like our lives are being shaken to the core. Peter and the first century church were shaken by the Romans. Today in the 21st century, we're also being shaken by the powers that be. Still, we have the advantage of New Testament knowledge and immediate access to help through technology. And that's why Pastor Jack really offers so many different ways to optimize our devotional time and our relationship with the Lord. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find a lot of unique resources to stay informed, connected, and encouraged. You'll also be able to access our real-life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. It's all there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.